where's the struggle Paul's going with? As far as, you know, Paul cares about the Corinthians. He cares deeply about them, but it seems like the Corinthians only want him to boastful words from anyone. It doesn't matter who. Anyone will do. As long as they sound really good and sound strong and tough, they don't listen to them. So Paul wants to show what Christian, what boasting as a Christian should be like. More than likely, these false teachers, these guys, you know, they said they had visions, they had revelations. And Paul's going to show the Corinthians that, you know what, they might say it, but you need to trust me that I'm telling the truth. So we'll go on to verses 2-5. Jesse, can you read that? It'll be two screens.
I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. If such a one I will boast, yet I myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities.
It was a long one. All right, so Paul's being a little sus, right? A little vague about situations. So, to me, it poses, there's three questions as far as about what we just read. First question is, who is this guy? You know, Paul, I know this guy. You know, a lot of people, they figure, or they think that it's Paul talking about himself, kind of in a third-party sense, as far as, oh, I know this guy. I have a friend who has a question, right? Anybody ever do that to your parents? Now, they say he didn't want to boast anymore about it. So, Paul, I could see that. I could go. We would write it today. Let's just put it that way. However, my mind is a little bit much more simple than others. Or maybe it's more complicated. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Now, if Paul doesn't want, in verse 5, up a question in my head. It's like, well, is he talking about himself or is he not? We do know that this event happened how many years ago? This is a test if you're listening.
A lot.
Yes, it was a lot. 14 years ago. 14 years ago. Right? And then, so there's I would say debates about timelines, right? But if we go through timelines. Alright, so let's just do before he was a Christian, right? And Paul was actually at Stephen, the first martyrs are Stephen, the first martyr's death. Maybe it is Stephen that Paul is talking about. You know, in a couple of verses, I'll go on with my theory, but am I making this way too complicated? Maybe I'm making it way too complicated. Because do the Corinthians even know who this guy Paul is talking about? Do they know him? You know, maybe it's not anybody famous, a famous Christian, somebody what everybody would know. Maybe it's just someone who gave their life to Christ. Somebody who ran a good race. Somebody who's at the finish line right now. Yo, he made it. That is the guy Paul will boast about. At times, the Bible can be very vague, be very simple. But we gotta understand, because if it's not, there would be those people out there what would say, oh, this guy, oh, it's Paul. So a great preacher and evangelist in order to make it to heaven. They would correlate that and say, no, no, only these type of people make it. Or people would say, oh, well, Stephen. And I have to be a martyr in order to make it to heaven. You know, both, no, you don't have to be a great preacher or a martyr. It's much more simple than that. It's a free gift. It's a free gift towards us. We just need to come to Jesus, and we need to let him be our Lord and Savior. And that is how you become one of those ones that Paul will gladly boast about. All right, the second question, I know we're still on those verses Jesse read a while ago. The second question I feel like comes up is, Paul doesn't know if this guy entered heaven in a physical body or in a spiritual body, right? Remember that? Maybe this is a question Paul... It makes sense because people still ask that same question. People don't know exactly how heaven's going to be, right? But Paul doesn't have the answer. But Paul points to somebody who's in control. Who's in control? God, right? He says, I don't know, but God knows. God's in control. Paul doesn't know everything. He's just a man, and he is not in control. Proverbs 3, verse 5. See, Annika?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding.
So we have our own understandings, right? We need not trust in those. It is because it's God's understandings. You know, there are sometimes we may never understand why things happen. Yet we don't give up. We can't give up. We don't stop trusting the one what's in control. And then my third question what popped up in those verses was third heaven. Right? Paul mentions he went to third heaven. So when heaven gets full, God takes another. And there just happened to be on number three at that time. Right? Makes sense. And then hopefully you're on the same heaven. Right? Yeah, I'll catch you. becomes ranked, and as you know, you have to be good to level up. You start at level 1 and you have to get to level 100, right? Get extra life.
Or a level
1,000. Level 1,000, right? No, that's wrong too. In Hebrew culture, the number 3 was a powerful number. You know, there's a lot of signifying, and they have a lot of reasons behind a lot of things. But it was a powerful number. It was a complete number. It was a continuous and everlasting number. 2 is good, but 3 is better, right? And the Hebrew third heaven. So what does that mean? Is that the first heaven is the atmosphere, the air we breathe, the clouds, the birds, you know, the drones were around back then. The first heaven. And then there was the second heaven, which was the stars and the moon. Right? So that's the second heaven. Then the third heaven, Paul even says, the third heaven is paradise. So that is where there is no sin, and God's dining room table is right there. Right? So third heaven is heaven in a sense, but it's just like how we have different, heaven can mean different things. You know, we just don't say first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. But it's heaven he's talking about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. Cassia, right? Yeah.
For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me.
One might say Paul did great works for God. Wouldn't you agree? They can say that. He did great works for God, didn't he? Now, there are times that we can let things go to our heads, right? Get a little swelled up, can't fit through the door. Michelle gets that way all the time. Shh. Paul wants a reality check. He wants to have a little reality check. Paul would say he didn't do any great things. He would say God gave him strength and used him, but God did great things. There's a difference. I mean, you could, that's what I meant to say. But there is a difference. And then we'll go on to verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7. Stephen, you want to tackle that one?
Unless I should be exalted above measure by the obedience of the revelations, and a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to
buffet
me, lest I be exalted above measures.
All right, so a messenger of Satan to buffet Paul. Right? What's buffet?
Buffet.
Huh?
Buffet.
That's what I thought. Satan just coming with food or what? What it means, I didn't expect you guys to know. Strike with a fist. So imagine getting really mad. And she's striking with a fist, right? Slap. Oh, okay, that's much better. So, this thorn in the flesh is like getting punched by Satan. That's what Paul's saying. A little sucker punched. People have different ideas what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. As you can imagine, right? It's been a few years. People studying the Bible, they go through a lot of things. And it comes down to, there's three groups of things that they came up with. Are a combination of thereof. It's like A, B, C, or D, all of the above, right? Number one is a physical ailment. You know, Paul's been through a lot, and he's not as young as he used to be, right? We can see this, is that eye trouble was a very common thing said about Paul, and God made him blind for a little bit, and they said that he never fully recovered from that. I don't know, but I've always heard that, is that Paul had a thing about his eyes. Malaria. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that before. Malaria, right? It's kind of a, I guess you'd say, disease, or it's a virus. I'm not sure exactly what they classify it, but it was going around the region where he went on his missionary trips. So fever, pain, aches and pain, you know, very possible. And then people were always wanting to fight Paul, right? Whipping him, hurling rocks at him, you know, beating with canes, rods, whatever they could find. So you imagine he would suffer injuries. So then the second one is possibly a fallen nature. Now, how hard is it to get past or get over past memories?
It's not easy.
Huh?
It's not easy.
It's not easy, right? It's not easy. Now, can you imagine if those memories were of persecuting Christians? Actually, and not just being mean to them. Actually persecuting. In some cases, having a hand in why that person is dead now. Maybe the thoughts, and I'm not sure how much he had a hand in Stephen, but maybe the thoughts of Stephen seeing him killed, and others like Stephen, that Paul was there, maybe that haunted him. Now, Paul never let his past hold him back. And we can't let our past hold us back, because that's in the past and we need to move forward. But I'm sure he didn't forget what he did. He didn't let it hold him back, and he knew God forgave him. But to forget. You know, maybe this man 14 years ago, God let Paul see Stephen make it to heaven to put his man in, his mind at ease. Maybe. And maybe it's a stretch. I don't know. Or maybe it was somebody like Stephen. Now the third grouping is all the opposition, all the trials. Let's face it, Paul went through a lot of trials, right? He went through a lot of trials all the time. So maybe it was those trials, what were the thorn in the flesh. Here again, I think God wanted to keep it somewhat vague. You know, God doesn't just, when he had the people write the Bible, he didn't just have them write it to a small group of people who have the same struggles, right? God has this big lasso, right? He wants to reach everybody. He's trying to reach everybody that struggles with not the same thing, but with a lot of different things. I feel Paul didn't just struggle with one thing. I think he's like most people, it's a combination of things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't have just one struggle. Second Corinthians 12, verse 8. Jesse?
Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me.
So Paul practiced what he preached, right? He'd always tell people, when you get in trouble, the very first thing you should do is call 911, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Because that's where it was set up. Second thing, no. Now, is to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I don't know, Lily, if you can, if you can't see it.
I can.
You can? Do you feel like reading?
Be
anxious
or nothing, but in everything by prayer and
supplication
with thanksgiving, let your
request
be made known to God.
So pray, and pray a lot, right? 3 times doesn't sound like a lot, right? It doesn't sound like a lot. But someone like Paul, you'd think he'd have this emergency number, you know, being all special and all, right? He'd just be like, oh, little bat phone, hey, God, I have a problem. Once should be enough, you think, for a guy like Paul. You know, we put Paul up here, you think, once should be enough, he asked. It should be done. Remember what I said about the Hebrews in the number 3? Wasn't that long ago? Right? They also had a phrase 3 times. Okay, and I said that number 3 was a complete number, but it was also a something number. Anyone? A continuous or everlasting number. So I think Paul prayed, and he prayed a lot. I don't think it was just 3 times. I think it was multiple times. Maybe 3 times an hour, maybe 3 times. You know, he prayed a lot. There are times when we think we know what's best, right? Been there? We think we know what's best. And it is very, very hard to hear an answer that's different than that. This is Paul we're talking about. You know, he wrote roughly 1/3 of the New Testament. Surely he's special to God. And he was special to God. Yet God allowed him to have physical ailments, a fallen spirit, and trials. Paul was just like any other Christian. We're not to put Paul on a pedestal. That's not where he belongs. He had struggles. He had weaknesses. He was human. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Seneca.
And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Grace is God's favor and God's love. God said, My grace is sufficient for you. Notice he didn't say, my grace is sufficient for Paul. He didn't say that. He said, for you. For all of us. His grace is sufficient. His love is for you, and it is enough. Paul is willing to boast about a man. I feel it doesn't matter the man. He's willing to boast about a man who made it to heaven. It's not that he's boasting about that that man never had any trouble. Paul is boasting about this man who trusted in God, who was willing to have God give grace on him, and God's grace was enough. He didn't need anything else. He just needed grace. That's the person Paul wants to boast about. It is easy to believe in grace in the past and also in the future. But in the here and now, I'm trying to be real as far as when you're in pain, when you're suffering, it takes true faith and continuously leaning towards God for strength. Last week, I don't know why, I didn't think about this until I was doing a study, but a Navajo friend of mine, his daughter just graduated. You know, and he told me, oh, well, my culture's different than yours. When your kids graduate, they go and leave the house. When our kids graduate, they're still always at the house. And I didn't really think twice about it because there is that mindset out there. And whether you say it's American, but I think it's global, there's this mindset that parents are, oh, now they're... cannot wait to show my independence. What?
I'm
sorry, I didn't.
Nothing.
Okay. Me and Michelle, we do have that to prepare our daughter for life. In no way, no shape, we now don't want to be a part of it. We desperately want to be a part of that life. Now, Father's Day is next weekend, right? Me and my dad had a really good relationship. But I can tell you, I have regrets. And my regret is not making more time to spend with him. Jesus wants to be a huge part of your life. He wants those daily calls. He wants those late night calls. He wants to help us when we feel weak. He wants to give us his grace. Anybody volunteer to close this in prayer?